together they march. They are the soldiers of Allah. Their honor is in jihad.
Fluent English on a new video released by ISIS's media machine.
As many as 3,000 Westerners are fighting alongside jihadist groups in Syria and Iraq.
The radical Islamic State group has released a graphic video that it claims shows the execution of an American journalist.
Dr. Daniel Milton is Director of Research at the Combating Terrorism Center at West Point. He's here to provide a brief summary of his latest report, Pulling Back the Curtain, an inside look at the Islamic State's media organization. Dr. Milton, I thought maybe we could start by talking just a little bit about these documents that form the foundation of the report.
Sure. For a bit of context, the CTC, as you know, has a long history of leveraging captured enemy material to help us better understand our enemies. We think that having their documents gives us unique insight into the organizations. For this particular report, we're relying on 13 Arabic language computer files that were recovered by the Department of Defense from the battlefield in Afghanistan over the past couple of years. So that's what's going to make up the bulk of kind of the report this time.
Now, many scholars and analysts and journalists even have used captured documents to talk about groups like Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State. So what's particularly special about these 13?
For the past 4 to 5 years, there has been a large amount of research focused on the Islamic State's media activities, and it's been great. However, most of it, with a few exceptions, has been based on what the group wants us to see, the stuff that they publish, so the videos, the picture reports, the statements, the speeches, those kinds of things. What's unique about this report is it's based on 13 internal documents that allows us to look at how the group trained its media personnel and put internal policies into place to help create all of those products. Such a behind-the-scenes look just simply hasn't been possible up until this point.
Hence the title, Pulling Back the Curtain.
Indeed, that's it.
Got it. Let's get into some of the findings of the report, though, and I know there's a lot more that we won't be able to cover in this one setting, but let's focus on maybe the top few things, maybe the trio of takeaways,
if you will. All right, a trio. I think I can do that. Let's start with what these documents tell us about a mock news agency.
And for our listeners, a mock news agency is the media entity that often carries claims of operations or short battlefield videos and other types of content from the Islamic State, correct?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. A mock's been around in various forms and fashions since 2013, but its specific relationship with the Islamic State has always been a bit clouded. Most analysts and observers will recognize it as being an official part of the Islamic State. Despite this general recognition, however, the group itself has never formally acknowledged that Amaq is part of the Islamic State media enterprise. They've never come out and said, yeah, Amaq's part of us. And this leaves Amaq with, in some regards, what I refer to as a thin veneer of legitimacy. These documents don't allow them to have that legitimacy anymore. They show, through these internal kind of conversations, that Amaq has been elevated to the same level as other official nodes of the group's production. So Al Naba weekly newsletter, right, that the group puts out on a regular basis, is considered in the same sentence with Amaq. In fact, Amaq is mentioned prior to Al Naba in some of these documents. And so it also shows that the group put a lot of effort into trying to steer content to Amaq. So it would give directions to its local media organizations to push content Amaq's way so that they would have what they need to kind of carry on their publications. More specifically, in one document, the Diwan of Central Media demands, their word, that provincial media bureaus cooperate with Amaq and, quote, rush to answer their needs for information and details. And so they're looking for them to rush, not be slow. And I think that shows how much the group really has incorporated Amaq into its function.
Huh, that's very interesting. So without a shadow of a doubt now, with these documents, we know that Amaq is part of the Islamic State.
Correct, by the group's own words.
Isn't there, Dr. Milton, a document in these series in which the Diwan of Central Media tells the local media guys that their cooperation with Amaq will be part of their own monthly evaluation?
Yes, there is actually, and that's a perfect lead-away into the second key takeaway that I have from this report. These documents reveal that the Diwan of Central Media was evaluating both the products that local bureaus were putting out, as well as the local bureaus themselves, on a regular basis, perhaps as often as every month.
And what do you think is the significance of that?
So I think it's interesting when we think about the group's videos and kind of products that it puts out, everybody notices that they seem to get better over time. But what's the cause of that? How did they actually improve the quality? Some people rely on the answer of, well, they had qualified people who were just getting better at their jobs. And I think that that's certainly a part of the answer. Previous CTC research has shown how the Islamic State would bring in foreign fighters with specific skill sets and put them at jobs that they knew they would excel at. So a media guy or a guy with computer design experience would go into the media organization. What these documents show, however, is that it wasn't just about personnel quality. It was also the result of institutional processes, such as the evaluation scheme that you referred to, that encouraged quality and presumably laid the groundwork for remedial training or potentially punishment or reward contingent on how the Bureau did.
It was interesting to me that these documents also show that the group ranked and published the evaluation scores for all of the videos internally so that local bureaus could almost see where they stood against each other.
What they would do is they would have a kind of categorization for scoring each of the videos. There are actually three categories. And then they would aggregate those categorical scores into a summary score. And based on the summary score, they would assign kind of a normative label to the video. So some videos were labeled excellent, others were labeled very good, all the way down to videos that were simply given the category of weak. And what you see is that by publishing this internally, what they were able to do probably is to cultivate a sense of competition among the local media bureaus. And so the local media bureaus had to compete with each other to kind of edge out the others, and they didn't want to be rated the weakest bureaus. What you can see from that is that there really was an institutional policy that was also likely driving the increase in quality as the kind of competition was fostered.
Okay, what's the final of the trio of takeaways?
So it's actually something that's been an underlying theme to all that we've been discussing here, and it's that these documents show that the Dewan of Central Media really made a concerted effort to centralize control over the propaganda production process. It's not uncommon to hear people talk about the group's successes as being the result of their willingness to decentralize, and mostly what they're thinking about is how the group acts on social media. But what these documents show is that prior to a product ever arriving on the social media scene, it goes through a very centralized process. The group is cultivating these images and these videos by recommending how the framing should occur, or how a fighter should be postured, or what can and cannot be said. Right, they're really going to a lot of detail to make sure that what they want as a message is what makes it in the actual video or product. I think that this desire to centralize is summed up pretty well in one quote in the document. It says the following, quote, "We advise the brothers to avoid innovation because it is mostly the main cause of mistakes." And so when we think about the role that centralization played, clearly the group was going to allow others to participate at some point, but only at some point, right? They were going to control the process up until then.
Dr. Milton, it's a fascinating and important report, so thank you for helping us to understand it better.
Oh, you're most welcome. Thank you for your time.